Hi, welcome to All or Nothing. This week, we are going to be talking about the Divine Mercy, the chaplet, the novena, the diary. She has a diary and it's very profound. We're going to talk about our personal story as well, like different things that have happened to us. The Divine Mercy novena and chaplet are so powerful. So you're definitely going to want to listen to this podcast and pay attention because it is pretty amazing. And it all starts Holy Week. So you want to definitely do it along with us. Nicole, do you want to talk a little bit about, I know you did a deep dive into the Divine Mercy. So what did you find out?
Okay. Well, nice to be here with everyone today. I want to share some really important things in case some of you don't have a lot of time to listen. Just a quick review about St. Faustina and Divine Mercy. There's tons of videos on this. I learned some new things, Divine Mercy and St. Faustina, and the promises that are given. St. Faustina is now a Catholic saint. She was born in, I think it was 1905, and she was one of 10 children. Very poor. When she was 19 years old, she was at a dance. And as she was dancing, the Lord appeared to her and said, "Why are you making me wait?" She was very struck by that. And long story short, she made her way to Warsaw, where the Lord told her to go. She did not say goodbye to her family. She goes to Warsaw and was rejected at several different convents. Eventually, she was accepted into the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy. I just want to throw a little quick note in there that she was turned down several times. And so there's just a personal connection. Sometimes when God closes doors in your life, whether you're single and you want to marry someone or a job didn't work out, just trust that there's something better. St. Faustina was turned down several times and God closed those doors to give her the best. So continue to trust in him on that.
You can still be holy even if you're rejected. That's a really good, gives everybody hope, right?
It does. Absolutely it does. And then the Lord appeared to Faustina in her room at the convent, showing her the image in the back that you can see here with the rays of the white and red rays to spread this image of mercy around the world. She started writing everything down in a diary, which Heather will talk about, and just sharing his mercy for the world. John Paul II actually said that Jesus told Faustina that she would help prepare the world for his coming. So her mission is huge. It's very significant for this time in history, for her showing up to show mercy. The whole point is that you want his mercy because this is now his mercy's flowing before his justice, because God is all merciful. He's also all justice. So he's calling on all of us to come to his mercy, to receive his forgiveness, and that no sin is too big for his mercy. If you're a devout Catholic, you probably have heard about Divine Mercy Sunday, which is the following Sunday after Easter. And there's a whole reason behind all that, like about 8 days of the octave. On Divine Mercy Sunday, you can have a plenary indulgence. Now, there's many times throughout the year you can get a plenary indulgence, but there's always an attachment of you have to be completely detached of your sin and to even venial. Very, very difficult to do. But this is the only day of the year where you are required only two things: to have a completely clean slate of your soul, which is confession beforehand. It doesn't have to be the day of Divine Mercy Sunday. It can be before or that morning, but you have to be in a state of grace. So the closer to Divine Mercy, the better. And receive communion. There's a prayer that you can look up that Father Chris Allar from the Divine Mercy Shrine shared that you could pray when you go back to communion. I will type that into the notes and tell you what, if you want to print it off or whatever, look it up. But that is incredible. And the founder of the Divine Mercy Shrine had said that the only other time in our lives where our soul is that clean is the moment of our baptism. So we truly have an opportunity to have all your all the punishments attached to our sin. Again, we are completely forgiven in the confessional, but a lot of times if you stole something, the owner can forgive you, but you have to do reparation to repair what we've done. We wound ourselves and we need healing after our sin, but this is the only time we have no temporal punishment. And so I really, really want to encourage you to go ahead and take advantage of the special grace of going to confession and communion on Divine Mercy Sunday. Heather, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, I think that's beautiful. I don't know if I actually knew that. It is so awesome, like, to hear that you're going to be as clean as the day of your baptism. Like, that is really powerful. Thank you for sharing that. I did not know that.
I always knew it was special, but you don't have to go to a mass or pray this at 3 p.m. It could be any time. It could even be the Saturday night, the vigil mass before Sunday. So I think that's important to know, because sometimes we can get really technical, like, oh no, like it wasn't at 3 p.m. But don't worry about that. As long as you go to confession beforehand and it's on Divine Mercy, the vigil or that day to receive communion. The novena is also coming up starting on Good Friday. And I'm hoping to do it each day live on YouTube to pray the novena prayer each day. And then you can do the Divine Mercy chaplet, you know, on your own. But I thought, this is incredible. And to come to him with all things. And there's 14 different promises that come with the Divine Mercy chaplet. And you use the rosary bead to pray the chaplet. It's 5 minutes. And I used to pray it all the time after the rosary. And I got out of that habit. And after doing this deep dive again with St. Faustina and all these promises, I'm like, why am I not praying this regularly again? Right?
Right.
Yeah.
I used to do it on the way to picking up the kids, because at 3 o'clock I leave. And I'm like, I need to start doing that. I don't know why I stopped. It's so powerful, and it's not that long. It's not as long as the rosary. You use a rosary to pray it.
Yeah.
But it's not as long, and it's so awesome. It's very powerful. So, yeah.
I just thought I'd rip through some of the 14 promises without, like, I'm not going to read the whole paragraphs, just give you the bottom line. And then after I share this, Heather has a really special story about her dad that I think you'd be interested in listening to. But here are the 14 promises that Jesus told Faustina for people who have a devotion to the Divine Mercy would receive. So one, the Lord promises that the soul that will venerate the image of Divine Mercy, which you see back here, will not perish. And he promises victory over our enemies on earth, especially at the hour of our death. That's promise one. And then the second one is that those who say this chaplet will be embraced by my mercy during their lifetime, and especially at the hour of our death. The next, when hardened sinners say it, I will fill their souls with peace at the hour of their death, and it will be a happy one, a happy death. That's the hardened sinner. When they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of their death. Priests recommend this to sinners as their last hope of salvation. Even the most hardened sinner, if they recite this even only one time, the person would receive grace from Jesus' infinite mercy, and they'll have unimaginable graces to the souls who trust in it. To priests who proclaim the mercy, he will give wondrous power and will anoint their words, this is for priests, and touch the hearts of those who they speak. The prayer is most pleasing for the conversion of sinners. So Jesus told Faustina that he will hear and answer those prayers for people's conversion. Well, if you have family members that are away from the church and the Lord, he will hear your prayer if you have a devotion to this for those people. At 3 o'clock, if you implore his mercy, even just for a second during your day, you set your timer on your phone. He said, just for a second, he said, I will refuse nothing to the soul that makes a request of me. He said, souls who spread the honor of my mercy, at the hour of their death, I will also be a merciful Savior. He talks about the image, and he says, I desire that the first Sunday after Easter be the Feast of Mercy. And whoever approaches the font of life on this day will be granted complete remission of sins and punishment. Mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to his mercy. He says, though the soul that goes to confession and receives Holy Communion in the state of grace will obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. Those are the requirements. And through the chaplet, you will obtain everything, if what you ask is compatible with my will. And lastly, my mercy is greater than your sins and those of the entire world. No matter what you've done, if you come repentantly, he will forgive and give complete mercy. So I just thought that was incredible. What are your thoughts? And then I'd love to hear the story about your dad, like your biological father.
I think that it gives you so much hope, right? Because I feel like it's such a simple prayer, but it's so powerful, and it shows you the power of God's mercy. And it's like, yes, God is equally just, but he wants to be merciful. And I think about that with my parenting. I want my kids to do the right thing, but as a good parent, I also have to discipline them if they're not doing the proper thing. That is the sign of a good parent. But I want to be merciful. I want my kids to thrive and do well and to do the right thing. I want to show them mercy. I think that's so great. And it comforts me to know how merciful God is. Some of us look at God as like this just God and, you know, everything we do wrong. Like he pinpoints it and he's mad at us or whatever. But I think we want to please God because he's such a good God and he wants to be merciful to us. And I think that that's really important to remember is God loves us so much that he just wants us in heaven with him. That's really what he wants. Like, and sometimes I think we forget that. We just think he wants to manipulate us, but that's not who he is. He's so merciful and loving. I mean, he sent his only son to die so we could get to heaven. Us poor sinners. That is incredible. He didn't have to do that, but that's how much he loves us. So the story with my dad, it is said that if you pray the Divine Mercy chaplet next to somebody who's about to die, that God will show great mercy to them. My dad, he believed in Jesus. I remember having a conversation. So this is my biological father. And we were super close. He was a great, fun guy. We liked each other, but it's not like he ever pursued me in a relationship, which makes me sad. I loved him and still do. I heard he had lung cancer. He had chemo and was fine, continued smoking and got cancer again. They said the chances of him living after the second cancer is like slim to none, you know? So anyway, he was about to die. And so I knew I was living in Virginia and I'm from Minnesota. He was in Minnesota. And I was like, Eric, I have to get there before he dies. And I have to pray the Divine Mercy and the rosary at his bedside. Like that just meant so much to me because I knew of God's mercy. I knew of his promise. And so I booked a flight. I took Bella and Zachary with me and we went. I got to pray with my dad on his deathbed. He was not coherent, but I just remember everyone was so nice and they let me be with him by myself. I had time to pray with him and to kind of let him go too. So that was really powerful and to trust in God's mercy through that because he was not a very faithful person. He was actually kind of selfish, to be honest, but I still love him. I still want the best for him and his soul. So I fully trust that God honored that. And that God showed mercy. I don't know what that looks like. I'm sure that means purgatory, you know, but I'm hoping that he is not in hell because hell is, it is like demons torturing you for eternity. I think we don't think about that. We're like, oh yeah, hell, you know, bad place. But it's literally you're being tortured for eternity. And whatever your sin is that you're there for, the demons do torture you with that. But anyway, so it is so important to rely on God's mercy, but also to do the right thing. Do the best of our ability. We're all sinful. We all are going to fall short, but we need to get up and say we're sorry at the side of our bed every night. Do a mini confession. Beg God for his mercy. And he wants to give it to us, you know, and go to confession often. I love the diary of St. Faustina because Jesus appeared to St. Faustina and it's pretty amazing because she had a fourth grade reading level, told her to write everything down that happened. And so it was like, it's her personal diary, but in the dark spots is where Jesus actually talked to her. You can hear what God said to a saint. It's phenomenal. And you get to have insight to her life too and how she felt and what she went through. But the thing about this book that is so phenomenal, it's very thick. We'll put it in the show notes, but when they looked at it, there was nothing wrong with it. There was no spelling errors, no grammar errors. It was all perfection. It's amazing because she, you know, was not very educated or anything like that. So I truly believe that that is definitely from God. The things in it are really profound. And like you said, they do talk about when God's justice comes, which is very scary to think about. But a loving God would let his children know to prepare because he loves us so much that he wants us to be in line with him when his punishment does come. So it's just something I don't like to think about a lot. And I don't think many people do, but I think out of his mercy, he shares that with us because he wants us to be pure and be ready really at any time we could go. Like our life is so fragile. Like we could die in the car ride, but to know of God's mercy and to be at peace with that, I think is so beautiful. So that's a little bit about her diary, which I think is fascinating. The grammar, because I'm horrible at spelling and grammar. So I'm just like, wow, like that's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. You know, one thing that really stood out to me was when I was looking at the chaplet, the whole purpose of the Divine Mercy chaplet is to obtain mercy, to receive mercy, to give mercy. And I just wanted to talk sort of personally for a second to bring all this to our personal lives, because all of us have had people in our lives that have hurt us, and that's still ongoing. And I know for a while I was praying this because I was having a hard time forgiving people, and it's not a feeling, and I know that, but I want to give mercy. I want to be like Christ. I want to be holy. But I can honestly say, and we're all being honest, that people really hurt. It's so hard to give mercy. But I realized when I know the mercy that's been given to me, what I've done, the wound, the heart of the Lord, and that he's so merciful to me, I want to be able to receive that. And he expects me to give that to others. So I started praying it just so that I could understand, receive his mercy. Because if I don't have his mercy, I can't give his mercy. So don't despair. If there are people that you need to forgive, this is a great way to soften our hearts. Because even one of the promises, it talks about the most hardened hearts that don't know God at all can receive full mercy. So those of us who are trying, how much more the Lord will give us that mercy. That's just something you could do, is to pray for those people who have hurt you. And also if you need to forgive yourself. Sometimes some people may have done really grave things that are very serious, and you know that you've really hurt the Lord and you've changed. But sometimes we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. This is also a way to help us forgive ourselves, because God wants to be merciful. One thing that he told Faustina, he said, what hurts me the most is a soul that doesn't trust in my mercy. It wounds heart the most. And actually, I looked at this book this morning. It's I Believe in Love. It's about this retreat with St. Thérèse of Lisieux. There's a chapter called Unshakable Confidence in the Lord. And St. Jean, it was interesting what he said. And I just wanted to read a couple of quick quotes. He said, the good Lord is more eager to pardon a repentant sinner than a mother to rescue her child from fire. So we don't think that. We think, again, like Heather was saying, that he's there just to point his finger to catch us doing something wrong. He wants to give us mercy. Just as a parent wants to repair a relationship with their child after they've not listened. In the sacrament of confession, he gives us an infinite share of his mercy. I know we've talked about confession several times, but in order for us to give mercy, we need to receive mercy first. It starts with really ridding ourselves of our own sin. And even our venial sins, like even if you're not in serious sin, I would just encourage you to go to confession, because that's where his mercy flows. And that's where we actually get over the grace for our repeated sins. So those sins that we keep struggling with over and over, and you're like, you know, it's like we get tired of saying them. The Lord never gets tired of hearing them. Father Frank said, I'm struggling with the same sins, confession over and over. And he's like, well, at least you don't have new ones. It was like, good point. But as we continue, he's like, keep going to confession, even though it's our pride, it's humiliating going back for the same thing. But don't, that same one is keeping you from having the grace to overcome your even venial sins. And it says, God, at the moment of absolution and confession, he throws our sins over his shoulder. He forgets them, annihilates them, and they shall never reappear. Our faults are grains of sand beside the great mountain of the mercies of God. We don't understand the amount of mercy that he has for us and the people that we love. This is such a great way for conversion of family members who have walked away from the faith, from the Lord, have turned their back. I know a lot of parents, especially some older parents at the church that I go to, are so worried about their kids. They grew up Catholic with all this faith, and then they left it. Divine Mercy Chaplet, along with the rosary and the other sacraments. Keep praying that their hearts will soften. The Lord promises to do it, and he will hear you. So get that image in your home. Start having a devotion. Again, I do not at this very moment. There's moments and periods of time where I did have a devotion. But after doing more research on all of these things about St. Faustina and the mercy, I was like, it's time to renew that commitment, to add this 5-minute prayer onto my rosary every day. There's no need. The promises are too great to miss out on, even for the end of my own life, at my last hour of death. Like, why wouldn't I want to have his total protection and mercy? So, do you want to say your one thing, Heather? Sure. We'll get her care. Yeah.
My kids from school, but I wanted to... The Diary of St. Faustina is amazing. It's really a good book. Very interesting read. Like I said, you get to read what a saint, her thoughts, what she went through, how human she was, her struggles, and what Jesus said to her. It's pretty amazing. We'll put that in the show notes. So that's my one thing.
Okay.
What's yours?
And as I said, it's the book I Believe in Love. It's a personal retreat based on the teaching of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Each chapter is so profound that you could stop on a few sentences and just journal on that. I've never fully gotten through all of it because it's so profound and there's so much wisdom there. And the one thing I just want to say about the diary is, before we wrap up, is that she wasn't just hearing Jesus in her heart. Like, it was audible. It was his voice. And she really was persecuted a lot too. The nuns thought she was faking a lot with her sufferings and sicknesses, and people didn't believe her. She was really kind of isolated, and they persecuted her even within the convent. They're probably jealous, right? I just thought that was really interesting. The words from heaven are on paper, like the Bible.
And it is a old Pope John Paul II was a big reason that this is available. And so he is a big reason why we have the chaplet and the image and just everything. So, and Divine Mercy Sunday, he is the one who implemented that. So that's pretty amazing that Pope John Paul II did that too. So I always, whenever I ask for St. Faustina's help, I always say Pope John Paul II too, because them together are great.
So. Oh yeah. They're like, I'm sure they're BFFs in heaven.
I know, right?
Yeah. And this is the last week. So as when this episode comes out, it's Monday of Holy Week. So just a reminder to make this week special, different than all other weeks. I'm just suggesting maybe more silence in your day, maybe more daily mass, and really sitting with the Lord and meditating on one station of the cross that really stands out to you. Find something to quiet yourself, to have the Lord speak to you